أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most gracious, the most merciful. The praise and thanks belong to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise and thanks belong to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, we beg Him for His forgiveness. We believe in Him, and we put our trust and faith in Him and in Him alone. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the evil of our deeds. For he that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness and give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is without partners and associates. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger, the seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should take heed of him, and do not die unless you are Muslim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will direct you to do good righteous deeds and he will forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, then he has already achieved the greatest achievement. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen, and be with those who are truthful in their words and their deeds. Surely Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Truly the best of words are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the best of guidance is that guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent through His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us in the Holy Quran, حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَغْرِبَ الشَّمْسِ وَوَجَدَهَا تَغْرُبُ فِي عَيْنٍ حَمِئَةٍ وَوَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا قَوْمًا قُلْنَا يَا ذَا الْقَرْنَيْنِ إِمَّا أَنْ تُعَذِّبَ وَإِمَّا أَنْ تَتَّخِذَ فِيهِمْ حُسْنًا قَالَ أَمَّا مَنْ ظَلَمَ فَسَوْفَ نُعَذِّبُهُ ثُمَّ يُرَدُّ إِلَى رَبِّهِ فَيُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا نُكْرًا وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُ جَزَاءً حُسْنًا وَسَنَقُولُ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا يُسْرًا ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَطْلِعَ الشَّمْسِ وَوَجَدَهَا تَطْلُعُ عَلَى قَوْمٍ لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهَا من دونها سترا. صدق الله العظيم. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, for the translation as best as we have available, this is Suratul Kahf, and these ayah are from 86 to 90. They read, until when he reached the setting place of the sun. This is Dhulqarnain. He found it setting in a spring of hot water, and he found near it a people. We said, O Dhulqarnain, either you punish them or you treat them with kindness. He said, as for him who does wrong, we shall punish him, and then he will be brought back unto his Lord, who will punish him with a terrible torment. But as for him who believes and works righteousness, he shall have the best reward, and we shall speak unto him mild words, or words of kindness. Then he followed another way, until when he came to the place of the rising sun, or when he came to the rising place of the sun, he found it rising on a people for whom we had provided no shelter against the sun. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we wanted to mention in this khutbah something of which, inshallah ta'ala, that is germane and relevant to the three previous khutbah. And it concerns these ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, specifically this last ayah that we read. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a famous hadith, I have been given the Quran and twice like it, meaning the Quran and its explanation. As such, there are many lessons surrounding the journey of Dhulqarnain in his efforts to find Aynul Hayat, or the eye of life. As we mentioned here in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, then he followed another way until when he came to the rising place of the sun. He found it rising on a people for whom we had provided no shelter against the sun. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions this in the Quran, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given details about it. And the scholars differ, but the strongest are of the opinion, and their collective reporting comprises what follows. According to them, this place that Dhulqarnain arrived, that is mentioned here, these people specifically that are mentioned here in this ayah, they were found on an island. And these people were very thin due to their continuous worship of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their skin had become black and ashen due to their exposure to the sun. When Dhulqarnain saw them, he greeted them, Assalamu alaikum. They replied, Wa alaikum assalam. And him seeing that they had no shelter and that their land was barren. He asked, how are you able to survive here? They said, we survive on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Fish from the sea, vegetation, and the water that we have before us we drink. Dhulqarnain felt that they could do better. And so he asked them, would you like me to take you to a place where there are better provisions, more abundant fruits, and lands for which you can gain a better harvest? To this they replied, and what will we do with it? Dhulqarnain was astonished. So they saw his surprise and they explained, we have here that which could enrich every single person on the earth. And they would never feel need again, no matter where they lived. This shocked Dhulqarnain. And he asked them, what is it? So they guided him and his troop to a valley whose size was too difficult to judge, and its length exceeded the sight of vision, or rather beyond one's eyesight, far into the horizon. In this valley, were gems of all types and sizes, the best rubies and precious stones of every color and every hue. Dhulqarnain, whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the earth as his dominion, had never seen anything like this. There were more precious jewelry there than he could count. Each one, each piece, a rare beauty and abundant. Among the gems were scattered gold nuggets and other precious metals beyond description. Dhulqarnain thought to himself, if every human being were to come to seize this treasure, they would not be able to exhaust it. And so he exclaimed, La ilaha illallah, subhana man lahul mulkul azim, wa yakhluqu Allah ma la ta'lamuhu al-khalaiq. There is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glory belongs to him who is the mighty, whether who to whom the mighty domain belongs to. And Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created what is unknown to his other creatures. So the people then, they let Dhulqarnain know there was more. And they led him and his troop to a lower part in the valley that opened up to an area so vast that one could not encompass it with their vision. Trees of all kinds, fruits of every type and color imaginable, and birds of every species. Rushing rivers could be heard in the distance, feeding the cool breezes that Dhulqarnain witnessed, and the vegetation that he saw before him. Dhulqarnain, upon seeing this, he said, Subhanallah al-Azim. And he immediately forgot the valley that he just left. That was how shocking what he saw was. The people of the valley then commented, "Is there any king that you know who owns anything like this?" He said, "Wallah, by Allah, and by the one who knows the secrets and the whispering of the soul, I don't know anyone who has anything like this." So they told him, "This belongs to us, and we can take as much of it as we want." And yet, we need none of it. We are satisfied. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, these people whom Allah mentions that they had no shelter from the sun because of their continuous worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had abandoned what he had put in their hands. And they told Dhulqarnain rather, "The worship of our Creator suffices us." They said, "O Dhulqarnain, remember that whoever abandons their needs for the face of Allah, Allah will replace it with better. O Dhulqarnain, leave us be. May Allah guide us and guide you. But if you need anything from what you've seen, take as much of it as you wish." But Dhulqarnain, he saw wisdom in their words, and he left, refusing to take anything of the treasures that he saw. He left the worshippers of the island alone. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the target that this life presents us makes us worry about how much we earn, how much we build, how much we own, and how much we have collected from the dunya. And I remind you, as I remind myself, everything here remains here. And we shall all return to the grave with hands that have been wiped clean of the dunya by those who bury us. These people abandoned the best of what the dunya has to offer and denied themselves because they found the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more satisfying. How then does our investment in Islam compare? Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Dhulqarnain alayhi salam, he continued his march on this island as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said it was near the place of the rising sun. And there he found a people who was guided to the truth, and they guided others to the truth. They were just and merciful towards one another, with good manners and exceptional character. Their hearts were clean and free of worldly desires and worries. Each person in this place, in front of his home, they had dug their own grave. And when the day would dawn, they would offer their salah inside their own grave. During the day, they would subsist on the vegetation that grew in the fields, and not one of them had a door on their home. And no one commanded them. No judges existed among them. No fights were found between them. No one harbored animosity for another. And no one argued nor got angry. And no one was poor. So Dhulqarnain, he asked them, "Do you have a king?" They said, "Yes." He said, "Where is he?" He said, "You can find him on top of the mountain." So Dhul-Qarnayn sent an ambassador to call upon the king so that he can meet him and ask him questions. But his ambassador returned alone. And when Dhul-Qarnayn inquired, he was told, the king replied, "I don't need anything from Dhul-Qarnayn, and I decline to meet him." This stunned Dhul-Qarnayn, and he mounted his horse alone, and he went up to the mountain to see who was this king who had refused his request. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Dhul-Qarnayn reached the mountain peak and found a man that appeared to be living like those at the foot of the mountain. His grave was in front of his home, but he was the picture of a monk who had renounced the world. Wisdom and faith were on his face. And he sat in front of his home, surrounded by skulls, two of which he seemed to be studying as Dhul-Qarnayn approached. "Assalamu alaikum," said Dhul-Qarnayn. "Wa alaikum assalam," replied the king. Now Dhul-Qarnayn, as we know, had traveled the earth and met many people, but this particular king was not impressed. So Dhul-Qarnayn, he said, "Tell me, how do you subsist? How do you survive? For I've never seen a nation like this nation. And I don't see anything of the dunya in your hand. Do you trade in gold and silver?" "No." "Why?" The king said, "We've never seen anyone who had it that didn't want more of it. And this is what leads to every single problem that faces the human being. No matter how much he's given, he is never satisfied. So why are your graves in front of your homes?" He said, "When we look at our graves, we are reminded that we are leaving. And thus we don't entertain hope and we don't waste our time." He said, "Well, why do you not have doors for your homes?" He said, "There's no one among us that's suspect. We don't have murderers or criminals, so our homes are open." "And why don't you have someone to command the people?" He said, "Because we don't fight each other, and we don't want what anyone else has." He said, "Well, why don't you eat the animals that you raise? Why do you simply just eat vegetables?" He said, "Because we don't want to make our stomachs the graves of animals." The herbs suffice us and gives us a better temperament. Say, are there any rich among you? Say, we don't compete with one another, nor do we seek to be famous. So there is no enmity or envy among you at all. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed this as a mercy between us. So no one has bad manners. He said, because we are humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has removed envy and bad manners from among us. So why do you live so long? He said, because we honor the rights of one another and rule justly. So why don't you smile? The king said to him, because we all must die. And unlike others, we choose to never let ourselves forget this. And how can one smile who constantly remembers his own death? So Dhul-Qarnayn, he looked at this king. He looked around this king, and finally he said, what's the story about the skulls? Especially those that you are studying in your hands. After a moment, the king began to cry. And when he regained his composure, he said, these are the skulls of kings that ruled the earth. Lifting one towards Dhul-Qarnayn, the king said, this skull belonged to a king who ruled for 100 years. He killed. He oppressed. He was arrogant. And Allah made an end of him with death, turning all that he was to resemble a stone. Now he will carry his deeds on his back and face them on the day of judgment. Then he lifted the other skull and he showed it to Dhul-Qarnayn and he said, and this is the skull of another king. He ruled the earth fairly and was just and humble. Yet the angel of death reduced him to what you see. Then the king approached Dhul-Qarnayn and he tapped him on his temple and he said, and this skull will be exactly like these skulls in my hands. Behold, Dhul-Qarnayn, O servant of Allah, be careful of what you do. And Dhul-Qarnayn began to weep. And soon after he said, oh my brother, would you like to join me and advise me and share with me in my rule? I wish, said the king, I wish, but no. Why not? He said, because all of the people are my friends and enemies to you. All of the people are friends to me and enemies to you. Why? Said Dhul-Qarnayn. He said, because I refuse the dunya and nothing of it is in my hands. So no one is my enemy. Yet it is in your hands. So you have a lot of enemies. Dhul-Qarnayn pressed and begged the king to join his company. And after a long time, the king said, okay, I will join you on one condition. Yes, said Dhul-Qarnayn. Say it, speak it, whatever you wish. He said, you have to guarantee me 3 things. Eagerly, Dhul-Qarnayn, he said, please tell me whatever they are. I will give them to you. He said, you must guarantee my youth that I will never age. You must guarantee my health that I will never become sick. And you must guarantee my life so that I will never die. Dhulqarnain was humbled. I cannot do that. So the king said, then leave me in the hands of the one who can. So Dhulqarnain turned away from the king and left in tears. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, you are in the house of the one who holds your life and death. You are here in the house of the one who holds sickness and health. You are here in the house of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who gives life and gives death, who fashions all things by saying, but to it, kun, be, and it is. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I remind you of the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as related by Abdullah bin Auf radiallahu an, when he said, I heard Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, there will come a time upon the creation, a night that will last for 3 nights. When it occurs, those who make salah will recognize it. One of you will read what he reads every night of the Holy Quran and then sleep. And when he awakes, it will still be night. So he will read again what he reads of the Holy Quran, and then he will sleep. And when he wakes, it will still be night. So he will read again what he reads at night of the Holy Quran. And at that time, the people will become dazed and confused. And they will flock to the masjid. Then the sun will rise from the west. When the people see it, they will scream out of fear. All the way up until it reaches its height in the sky. When it reaches the middle of the sky, then it will do as Allah commanded, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, returning to the east by setting in the west, and then rise from the east on the following day. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it is by this event that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let it be known that the door for repentance has shut. So if you are Muslim, you are Muslim. And if you are kafir, no word will save you. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, is it the plan of the Muslims to go to find the island of the worshippers and the wise that we mentioned? To go seek it out before the sun rises from the west? Is this our plan before we begin to take heed of what Allah has put in our hands? When will we take this deen seriously? When will we be the model that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We are the ambassadors of Islam. When will the people, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, when they hear the word Muslim, disassociate this from fitna? When will the common person understand when he hears the word Arab or Muslim, associate this with halal, with at-tayyib, with al-husna. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I am not an Arab. I am a Muslim. I am not from your lands that you've come here from. I am not like those who of you are guilty of associating our name, Muslim, and Muhammad, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the filth of this earth. And when we remind you that we have a duty, an obligation, a responsibility to keep a masjid open for Allah's face, you turn your back and flee. You turn up your nose. Oh, he's not an Arab. He's not this. He's not that. I'm not this masjid either. I'm not the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am not the sabil of Allah. I am Abdullah, his slave. And I'm only reminding you that the path of fitna is one that we need to run from. And as long as the dollar is wrapped around your heart, you will never be satisfied. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made zakah a pillar, a rukun from the arkan of Islam. Because he knows too much of this dunya will kill you. It will kill you, not your body. You, the nafs. Wipe it out. It'll obliterate the light that Allah has put in your heart. Blot it out. So when we remind you, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as we remind ourselves, specifically about sadaqah and zakah, this is the major ill in our society amongst us. Because we are, it's as if we are on a boat surrounded by ocean and seawater and we have drunk it and it has made us nuts. We are drunk on the dunya. Somebody speaking to you is like they're speaking a different language. You don't understand nothing they're saying. And all that we are doing is reminding you, fear Allah. Fear Allah. Because you will be like this, these people that this king was telling him, telling Dhulqarnain. Your skull will be bare. And someone will speak of you and what you did. And will they say this person was salih? This person turned their back on the dunya. And when the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, they were ready. Or will they say otherwise? Allah knows best. Our job here, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, is not to collect the dust of the dunya in our pockets. And I remind you, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as I remind myself, we are the ambassadors of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Allah commands us that we tanha an al-fahsha'i wal-munkar. We stand against the fahsha, the major sins, and munkar, those things that are disliked. Karih, is that not the word? Karihu. That we don't like it, that is hated. Is it not disliked to harm your own body with cigarettes? Is that not karah? It certainly isn't halal. It certainly isn't the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why are we selling these things, dear Muslim brothers and sisters? You want to go before Allah with some weak fatwa from some sheikh in some other country? Well, so you know, so-and-so said it was... You really want to stand before Allah with that? When he is making powder of the kufar before your eyes, you want to do that? You think you're not going to face death? You think you're not going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what he's put in your hands? You act like it. I don't see anyone shuttering their liquor stores and saying, for Allah, I leave this alone. I don't see one person doing that. I don't see the Muslims taking down the cigarettes and these things that are karih, munkar, from their shelves. Not one. And yet, every moment that passes, every day that the sun rises, you are one day closer to, did you hear about so-and-so? You are one day closer to you not being able to lift your own head. You are one day closer to being just like a stone. It cannot move. And someone will have to wash your body. Someone will have to scent you. Someone will have to dress you. Someone will have to pray for you. Someone will have to ask Allah to forgive you, because you will not be able to do it for yourself. Do you want us to read about you? Oh, so-and-so was shot in the head at so-and-so place. And astaghfirullah, you know he owned that store, brother. Is this what you want to be said? Or that when they're going through your things, they find the things that you sold that were haram. Is this what you want for yourself? Is this what you want to leave behind for your children, who will do worse and then load you in your grave with more sins? There's only two choices in this life. Listen or learn. You can listen and you will be wise. Or you can be like those who think they know everything and learn to regret that you didn't listen. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we are the Muslims here today in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no one else here but us. We're not looking for anyone else to gain the blessing of supporting this house but us. And again, the focus of this khutbah is not about money. I want you all to understand this. It's not about me saying to you, oh, you need to give more money. That's not the problem. The problem is what makes it so that you need to be reminded. The habit, the mentality, what's going on in the mind of a Muslim, that you have to be told that this is something that you need to contribute to. That is the problem. That is the problem worldwide. That's what we seek to change and address. Because that seed bears nothing good as fruit. It hurts you here, and it hurts you when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, think of this khutbah as a prescription. that we are trying to address a deeper issue that remains and persists. That is all this is. There are many of us that we understand that are hurting. The situation is tough and it's a test. But there are those who can do better and who have the wherewithal. And it's a test on you too. So I remind you, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as I remind myself, we have this time, this day, this asr, this era is for us. Allah is not going to ask us about the past and is not going to ask us about a future that we were not in. This is the time He will ask us about. What are you going to do? أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكون من الخاسرين ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وتوفنا من المسلمين ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وثابت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إسرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر.